Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Not as good as you.
Why is that?
Well, you know, your team is going to slaughter my team next week.
I'm not saying anything until it happens. Just leaving that one alone.
You don't worry about it. You're going to be fine.
The Bears are cheeks. How are they so cheeks?
I mean, when the players start saying they've given up on the coach, that's a problem. That's usually a bad indicator. That's like right up there with the head coach, right up there with the owner giving the vote of confidence.
Yeah, it is.
But he's coming back. He's fine. he's fine, right?
No, yeah,
he's untouchable.
Okay.
Yeah, he's coming back. Billy Napier's coming back.
Hey.
Danny Dimes is coming back.
Yeah. You know, working out well for all of those guys.
Yeah.
Corey, speaking of coming back, Will Levis back in the lineup yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of that? Will Levis, 18 of 23, 175 yards, couple of touchdowns, did not have the egregious turnover. Overall, what did you make of Will Levis's performance yesterday?
It's fine. I mean, you know, we all saw him hang out of the ball a bit too long late. That's not why they lost the football game. You know, but it's more of the same from the Titans with that really strong opening drive, or, you know, one of the first drives. They go down and put seven on the board, and it's just, you know, what they do after that. You know, I don't know how many three and outs they had yesterday. I don't think it was many. I mean, they only had 9 possessions. But, you know, the same thing continues to plague them, and that's finishing drives. You know, that opening drive of the second half, it was an opportunity, you know, to take the lead in the football game. And I'd be interested I didn't hear what he said after the game about it, if he was asked, but on the 3rd and 4 from the 9, you know, they go for 7 points there with Wiley. Was that the play design? Cause I think he had Tyler Boyd at the sticks. You know, cause you could have gotten a first down there. You didn't need to go for 7. So I thought that was an interesting choice. You know, obviously looked ugly, but it was an interesting choice that was the decision, to go for 7 there instead of going for a first down or close to a first down. It looked like it had slowed down for him some. That was a good defense. You know, he got Ridley the ball, which was a big step forward, you know, for the football team and for him. And, you know, I, you know, 17 points is still the mountain, and it's not enough, but if you want to ask, did he look better in this game? I'd say, yeah, I thought so. I mean, you guys could disagree, but I did.
I don't think Callahan was asked about that. He was asked about symbolism in American literature, but it was an interesting post-game pressure. I'm with you. No, I think that's the best Levis has played, and I know that the bar isn't especially high, but it was the best he's played. The big criticism, which, like you said, Corey, you know, holding on the ball too long, some of those sacks. A lot of sacks yesterday. The sacks went down when Mason Rudolph was in. The sacks were up before when Levis was in. The sacks get back to a big number yesterday. So how much take that blame pie from yesterday and divvy that up if you can? Levis and this offensive line that, to me, didn't look too good.
No, but, I mean, you're also looking at a Chargers team with Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and Bud Dupree, which is better than what they have faced the last few weeks. I mean, I talked to J.C. Latham about that, you know, before the game. And he knew. He was like, look, he's like, I respect everyone in this league, but this is the biggest challenge that I've faced in a while, you know, knowing that the guys that they've got over there. And when you get behind by two scores like they did at 20-10, and it becomes more of a passing situation, they pin their ears back and they come after you. And so that's going to set you up for more sacks in that situation. You know, like I said, there were sacks that Will took that he didn't have to take. You know, that number was 7. It could have been 4 or 5, you know, very easily. But again, that's not why they lost the football game. They lost the football game because they, you know, Leroy Watson commits, maybe I should call him Leroy penalty. Leroy Watson takes 2 penalties and you go from 3rd and 5, and I think the 19, to 3rd and 25 at the 39. I mean, that's a problem. And then Nick Folk misses the 49ers. You took points off the board, and you had a chance at 7 there. I mean, because you were sitting there at 3rd and 5, but you took points off the board there. And then the opening drive of the second half was another chance to put 7 on the board. And, you know, when you're on the road and in a game that you know is going to be a low possession game, you know, you've really got to finish. And the Chargers did a better job of finishing than they did. And so they got to get there. And a lot, you know, some of it's quarterback play, but some of it is definitely offensive line play. You know, once again, we saw another good game from Tony Pollard. But, you know, you look at the stats, and I think they averaged like 6.3 yards a carry for the game. And like you said, Levis, I think, was 18 of 23, 175, 2 touchdowns. And you sit there and you say, you know, well, how did you not win the game?
Yeah.
Or how was it not closer? But you're 1 for 3 in the red zone. And by the way, in a low possession game, your number one defense gave up 27 points.
Right.
So while we fixate on the quarterback and we fixate on this defense being number one in the league in yardage allowed, they are averaging now giving up 27 points a game. And they weren't put in bad situations yesterday. They weren't on the field in especially long period of time yesterday. They just weren't good enough.
Oh, and then there's another special teams gaffe, Corey. It's hard to get through a week without talking about it. And the punting was better. Improvements made on the punting side of things.
I think they even punted one out of bounds.
I think they did, too. Like, it was a massive step in the right direction in punt coverage. But the one kickoff return they give up, 56 yards, and hard to win that way.
I don't understand why every kick isn't through the end zone and every punt isn't out of bounds. And you can make whatever excuse you want. I don't care. They've proven it's a problem, and there's a solution to that problem. Don't let them return it.
So, meanwhile, Corey, because like I seriously with the Titans at this point, there is so much Groundhog Day going on. I got to ask you about the AFC South in general. Is the Texans, of course?
Yeah,
the Texans, of course. Really blew it. Apparently the first team since 1970 to lose a game. They led by 15 and had 5 interceptions in that game. And yet I have zero concern for them whatsoever. But the Colts, it is getting angry in Indianapolis because the Colts are doing what the Titans aren't doing. The Colts are just going to keep going with Flacco and losing and okay, that's just great. I guess is there any solace? And then I watched Matt Jones play yesterday, and my goodness, talk about a game
terrible.
He is
terrible.
I mean, Darnold is turning into a pumpkin again. It looks like with the picks, but they finally. So, give me a misery ranking right now, because again, the Texans are, even though that loss was brutal last night, like they're fine. Misery ranking of the other three right now: Titans, Colts, Jags. It's close, right? Like it's a heck of a battle.
I'm trying to think what's the worst. I, you know, look, Trevor Lawrence was the first pick of the draft, and in Jacksonville, they always think they're a Super Bowl contender, and they're the worst team in the division right now. I think they've got to be number one. I mean, because they could be without Lawrence now for the rest of the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're number one.
Okay.
They're number one. You know, the Colts have benched their future quarterback. And you know, they've got the best offensive line of the grouping. God, they're fortunate to be where they're at 4-6 too. Like, I mean, they could easily be 2-8.
Absolutely.
Easily be 2-8. You know, the Titans were supposed to be more than they are. So I guess, you know, the Titans' record is what it is. So I'd put them at 2 and then the Colts at 3. But the Colts had higher expectations because, again, you know, the NFL puts the Colts up on a pedestal no matter how much they suck.
Remember when we were all excited about this division, Corey, with the young quarterbacks and all that stuff?
Yeah. It's going well. Yeah. Well, I said this last night. I said, you know, this was supposed to be a year where the AFC South was on the rise, and we've got, you know, one quarterback benched, one injured, and one winning team in the division. And Joe, I know you say the Texans are fine. You know, they're fine to win the division,
right?
But their offensive line is not good enough. They cannot hold a second half lead to save their lives. They've been terrible in the second half of games. They have not been the dominant team that we expected them to be. And I know injuries play into that, but injuries are part of the game. I mean, you got to be able to overcome some of that. I mean, Laremy Tunsil got turnstiled last night, and you know, he's one of the better offensive linemen. So even he is struggling for them some. So there's misery to go around. I don't think there's anybody in Houston who thought they'd be 6-4.
No. No doubt about it.
I mean, look, they're the least miserable. That's for sure. But there is misery from top to bottom.
I think I can make a case for the Titans to be less miserable than both the Jags and Colts.
Can you?
Which is amazing. I think it's close.
Absolutely. At least they still have their quarterback on the field.
That is true.
They're not locked in to not making a QB change, unlike the other two, basically.
Well, and the Titans still have two games left against Mac Jones. I mean,
look at all the sunshine we're finding today.
Yeah, I mean,
can't wait to watch that.
Me up for that one.
Yeah, gonna be awesome, Corey. Great stuff as always. I wish you a pleasant watching experience on Sunday when the Packers play the Bears, and I'll talk to you next week.
You know. That one is probably not going to be 3 touchdowns. It's just not going to be close. Mm-hmm. Not going to be close. But by the way, so, and I know you guys have to go, but I always like to talk about Joe's Lions because they clearly look like a team that expects to win now, no matter what the circumstance, and that is the mark of a great team.
I said it last week. They're winning the Super Bowl. It's going to happen.
I mean, this year. When it all hits the fan and they're just like, yeah, whatever, we got this. I mean, the Chiefs are like that. I mean, yesterday's perfect example for them. And now the Lions are like that too. Because Joe, you've been watching the Lions a long time.
Yep.
And I've been watching bad teams a long time. You have a first half like they have, you lose that game by 40 points.
No, believe me, I was texting my brother. I'm like, you know, in our lifetimes, the Lions have never been the best team in the NFL. Never.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. Maybe.
Yep. They're number one in my power rankings, and they've been there for like 3 years.
There you go.
That's how
I judge the NFL. So if your power rankings are number one, that means they're number one.
I you know what? I think the rest of the league needs to get on board with that because then the rest of the league could disrespect the Colts and the Jaguars just as much as I do.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do it. By the way, and again, I know you guys have to go. How long is it? Robbie, were you a legal adult the last time the Colts won the AFC South?
Yes, but barely.
Okay. That's
when was that, 14? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while.
But yet, we continue to laud this team like it's something
drink.
Special. There are children in our country who are growing up not knowing what a winning Colts team looks like, but we still hold them up like they're this pillar of a franchise.
Well, how could you not with Jim Irsay? Corey, great stuff as always, and we will talk to you next Monday.
This stadium's ugly, too.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say. More of your thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Chargers up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans lose 27-17 to the L.A. Chargers yesterday. I don't believe they've beaten the Chargers in L.A. or San Diego or wherever they've played since like 1990. So Been a lot of problems going out there.
Probably Warren Moon.
It was Warren Moon.
Warren Moon in the run and shoot, probably, yeah. That's a while.
That's a long time.
As PK says.
I was not alive.
It's in the DNA.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some symbolism at work there. What does Beowulf really mean to society with Paul Kuharsky?
So you're going to get back in time for the press conference today?
I hope he's listening right now and he's just so angry because I keep ripping him and he has no way to like respond.
No recourse.
Yeah.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
I was about to say, Joe, you got to lay off that guy. It's like Sherman Klump going to the club with Reggie Warrington, ripping on him every time he gets on here with you. You get after him. So, no, I don't care. I think it's funny. I got a couple.
So I'm Dave Chappelle, and he's Eddie Murphy in that scenario. Is that, do I have that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
You're
yep.
Reggie Warrington. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So here's my thing, man. And if you guys have covered it, I'm sorry I jumped in a little late. Number one, our margin of error. Like, I'm fine with this team sucking, right? Like, it's fine, but. Blatantly obvious miss yesterday, man, and our margin of error is so low and thin when your team sucks that you can't not have that call. Like, they were a different team after that. Like, they were competitive. And number one, like my biggest thing too, and I'm not hearing a lot of people talk about it, what is with this quarterback draw plays that they drew up, dude? That's so crazy looking to me. If your dude has been broken for 3 weeks, you're going to start doing like Josh Allen power runs with the quarterback? I find that absurd. But, you know, that's just a side note. That call can't be missed. And it seems like the sorry teams always don't get those calls. But that one right there, man, if they said they had another angle, the only angle I saw, there was a big body in front of where his hand was. Like, that's what the broadcast was showing me. So I find it egregious. I thought it was an egregious miss and just another sign of a really terrible team.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Adam. Yeah, the call, I thought was the wrong one. And, you know, PK brought up earlier the explanation given by – the VP of whatever that his title is, video review or whatever.
Yeah.
It was
harumph, harumph.
Yeah. I just thought it was such a big moment in the game. And again, like, do the Titans win the game if that touchdown goes their way? I have no idea. The likelihood is probably not because they're pretty good at finding ways to lose. But, I mean, that's a massive play in the game, which, by the way, the call on the field was a fumble. And it's supposed to be, like, pretty clear and obvious to overturn those calls. I didn't see anything that was clear and obvious to overturn it. And if they did, they need to make that available. And I've not seen it yet to this point.
Yeah, and it's obviously a play like that, you know, in whatever city it is the victim of that, then, you know, people are going to, you know, you think they're going to complain about it. But, like, seriously, I don't – like, it's not even about the Titans winning or losing the game. I think we would both agree they're probably going to – get outplayed in the second half like they always do and lose the game. It's just a terrible call. It just bothers me, the inconsistency. It is very weird. I mean, maybe Adam's onto something. The sorry teams get the short end of the stick on those. I mean, I know Vanderbilt fans have been telling me forever that, you know, like they get fewer calls than anybody else because everybody just thinks they stink and so they're supposed to lose. I don't know about that, but it's inconsistency. This was a bad call. And Dean Blandino, again, that's just what bothered me. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, guys, you can't sit here and watch that play and just quickly, sure, that's it. Yep, that's right. I don't – that bothered me more than the officials making the call itself.
By the way, the title is NFL Vice President of Instant Replay, and the man's name is Mark Butterworth. So
okay. Mark, it's one of my favorite syrups.
Mark Butterworth put this out there. This statement, he was interviewed by, I guess, a pool reporter. And the question was, you did believe the quarterback had control of the ball as he pushed forward. Butterworth, quote, yes, when his hand was moving forward, he had control. It was tight, and we were going frame by frame. As his hand was moving forward, he had control and then lost it. So we overturned it to an incomplete pass. That's from Mark Butterworth yesterday.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Maybe we need to hear from Lance Log Cabin and get a better answer, okay? That was terrible.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What did we make of Will Levis's day yesterday? Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on that. We'll get to those coming up next. Preds Pick to Click coming up at 845. By the way, Preds made a roster move that is – generating a lot of discussion this weekend. We'll get into that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Daryl Hall at the Ryman Auditorium on Tuesday, November 19th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Daryl Hall at the Ryman coming up on Tuesday, November 19th. Welcome back in. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Nick to the program. Nick, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, my question is really more about with Callahan's offense this year. I know he talked a lot about, you know, getting guys like Pollard and Spears involved in the offense. They're good pass catchers there. I know our tight ends aren't world beaters by any stretch, but Wiley and Chick have had pretty good years. That we know we want to develop some receivers there with Jackson and so forth. I'm just not seeing the actual distribution. I know some of that's quarterback play, but where's the intention with the offense and getting all those other guys involved? We used to see that a lot with Tannehill back in the year. Getting other guys involved, that will open up guys like, you know, Ridley and so forth. I'm just not seeing any distribution. And I know everything's kind of downfield with Ridley and such a focus on that. Curious on your thoughts on, is that, you know, really a Callahan flaw at this point, or how can we do, you know, better at that moving forward?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Nick. Appreciate it. What do you make of that assessment, Joe?
Yeah, I think my initial reaction to that is I just don't know how many people in this offense really need to have the ball. Someone asked her, I think it was LD McMinnville. No. Is that right?
Yeah. That is a person?
That is correct. LD, yeah. I think it was him. Asked if Burks could be on the team next year. Don't forget, Treylon Burks on the team. Obviously, he hasn't been out there. He's a guy we've talked about in the past. Like, got to try to get him the ball. Well, do you? Chig, you know, Chig's had some moments here or there. They tried to get Wiley on the fade yesterday, but I think it's – I mean, look, NWI will make a play if you give him a chance, right?
Yeah.
And now they do have Ridley making plays, and Ridley has to be a driver of this offense. So I think some of it is just that they don't have, like, if you want to go back to the Tannehill days, they don't have the same level of overall talent. And certainly I also think it's quarterback, offensive line. I mean, it's just like, you know, you have three and outs, you have fewer opportunities to try to get the ball to different people. So, I mean, there's a lot to it.
Chig and Wiley are backup tight ends. Like, neither one of those guys is good enough to be a starting tight end.
Certainly not like a top line NFL tight end.
They're not. I think you've got two backup tight ends. You have NWI as your number two receiver, which, as much as we love NWI, probably should not be the case.
Don't rip him.
Probably should not be the case. I mean, they had Bryce Oliver catching passes yesterday. I think he ended up with two catches. I think the bottom line is a lot of it with your personnel right now just isn't that good. I mean, you've traded away Hopkins. And everybody kept relying on Burks, and Burks isn't good, and he's not available. So when you have those two things happen, it dwindles down your options pretty quickly in terms of your pass catchers.
You got Tyjae Spears back yesterday, and I thought he, you know, had a couple good moments. But, again, Pollard's been terrific. So to me, if I'm running this offense, calling plays, I want Pollard to get the ball as much as possible. I want Ridley to get the ball as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, you do want to – I mean, you want to be – unpredictable and spread it around, but the rest of the crew is kind of subpar.
Yeah. All in all, I thought a step in the right direction for Levis yesterday. It doesn't change my opinion on what I think he is and what I think he will be moving forward. But you had a game where he didn't have an egregious turnover. He threw the ball well. You know, he made good decisions for the most part in the game. 18 of 23, 175 yards, two touchdowns. Did he hold on to the ball too long a few times? Yes. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But all in all, given what we've seen from him this year, I thought he came in and had a nice performance yesterday. Not good enough, obviously, but it was a step in the right direction.
Right. It was one of those, this is the number one scoring defense in the NFL, so I guess you can be happy with 17, but again, seven of them were pure garbage time. It was one of those performances that if he played like that in one of those early games of the year, I think we'd probably be making a bigger deal out of the passing efficiency, still the sacks and still plenty to nitpick, right? But he slid twice. He was a threat as a runner. He made some really good throws. It was early in the season, this performance would be, oh, there's a building block. Now, yeah. It is a step. How much does it mean? Hey, I don't know. But to me, it's good that he got away and it was longer than hoped and it was an injury. And they made the right decision going back to him. And he took a step, and we'll see where he takes it. I mean, we'll see where he takes it, and we'll also see how much they can help him take more steps, because there are just limitations out of his control that continue to exist in this offense.
There's no doubt. And, look, they're in for a little bit of a different animal next weekend. That Brian Flores Minnesota Vikings defense does a lot of stuff, and I'm interested to see how he handles that next week. But right now, like, I said it earlier, the biggest positive from yesterday is he and Ridley connected. And he and Ridley have not really connected all year. And Ridley was making progress with Rudolph, but I did wonder heading into the game, what would that look like with Ridley, or excuse me, with Levis. And 5 catches, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns for Ridley on 9 targets. And particularly the first play, or the first touchdown with Ridley, I thought it was just really good all around by the Titans. Number one, good play call. Number two, pretty good protection. Number three, good job by Levis to kind of look off the defenders and then come back to Ridley across the field, made a good throw, and then Ridley beating his guy one-on-one. That was the kind of sequence, and really the opening drive I thought was really good for the Titans. That's what you're looking for more of throughout the course of a game.
Yeah, and look, they've had some early stuff. The scripted stuff is, they've had some good stuff this year. More in the second half is more in the second half, and it continues to be an issue.
They scored 10 second half.
Yeah, well, that
outscored
is true.
What they did in the first half. How often has that been the case?
That's a great question. I'd love to know that stat. Very rarely. Robert says, you say Chig and Wiley are backup tight ends, but if they went to another team with a decent quarterback, they could be starters for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't say for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're – I agree. Whatever. Are both of them good enough to quote unquote start in the NFL? Sure, but the point you're making is there are teams that have here's our number one tight end.
They're not
threat.
Weapons.
Yeah,
they're not a threat.
Right. Like they can make some plays.
Yeah, they'll make plays every now and then, but that should not be the baseline of what you're getting out of your tight ends right there.
Yeah, like they can be better there.
Tight end is a spot in the league right now where you could change the game. With your tight end.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't all have to be Travis Kelce, by the way. There's one in Detroit. It's pretty darn good.
Right. The last four teams standing last year, it was like Kittle, LaPorta, Kelce, and Andrews.
Yes.
So there you go. Kind of, you could say there's a little bit of a correlation. Right. Yeah, these guys are not at that level whatsoever.
They're not close to that. So, again, that's not the chief problem with the Titans right now. Like, it's not, tight end's not what's holding them back. At the moment, but it just kind of underscores, when you trade away Hopkins, Burks isn't what you thought he was going to be. He's not going to be here moving forward. Like the weapons start to dwindle pretty quickly in the passing game when you get beyond Calvin Ridley.
Right.
And our guy NWI.
That's right. Thank you. Respect. Texter says, I understand the issues of picks, holding the ball. Why not just Levis throw it more? Pollard has been good, but it's not winning either. Well, quarterback's best friend is a running game.
Yeah.
And so you are trying to win each week. These guys are trying to win, and so you have to try to run the ball. And, again, you set up play action. You make things look the same. The TD was a really nicely designed and really well-executed by Levis play, the first TD to Ridley. So, I mean, run the ball, man. Run the damn ball. It always works. It will always work forever and ever in football.
Oh, and then yesterday, another good reminder of – how bad right tackle is right now. I mean, Leroy Watson was just atrocious yesterday. And then they put Ajukwu in. They're just swimming out there at right tackle. And that to me is not going to get any better. Like, it's not going to change throughout the course of the year.
No, it's a real problem. And it's just I expect the merry-go-round to continue, which does remind me, I wanted to read this. This is an interesting from Ron. Joe, when you watch your son playing, he's having a bad game. What can you do about it during the game? Nothing but yell and hope he can hear you, even if he's drowning out there. So why does Bill Callahan allow his son Brian to drown at times? He needs to help him more. He's the one with the coaching experience. I don't know, man. He's coaching the offensive line. What is he supposed to do?
Bill
Go
Callahan
over there?
Call plays?
Or, yell at him or something? Brian!
I mean, the one thing you can
do. I told you a million times, close the garage door when you leave.
Throw the ball to NWI more. Three catches, three targets. And that guy's catch percentage is unbelievable. Just get him the ball.
Like, flip this around. If you're Brian Callahan at some point, and you're like, Dad, can we stop sucking this much at right tackle?
Dad,
can you
play right tackle?
Can you not figure out right tackle? Last year with the Browns, you had like four stringers out there, and you guys did great. What is happening with this team?
It's pretty bad. I think Leroy Watson, I need to go find the actual clip of it. It may have been the worst rep I think I've seen by a right tackle in the history of the National Football League. One of them that he threw out there yesterday. I mean, the guy was around him before he even took a step. I was like, good gracious, what's happening out here? And then we didn't see a whole lot of Leroy Watson.
It was,
that.
Frankly, it was kind of Dillard-like, it just really on the was. Other side of the line.
It really was. It was unbelievable. Preds Pick the Click coming up next. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Avalanche. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. Get to a roster move the Predators made over the weekend as well. And give our final thoughts on the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. They're in action tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Preds going to be on the road for the next 2 weeks here, so we'll see how they handle that. But five-game road trip starting tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. The standings in the Preds Pick to Click competition. Rex Road is out to a significant early lead. He has five correct answers. The rest of us have one in the competition.
Ooh, baby.
So Rex Road is building a lead, although he was assisted in one of those victories by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com.
It was a very symbolic choice.
It really is. Yes, it was. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Casey. Casey, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
We're going with Ryan O'Reilly tonight.
Ryan O'Reilly. Casey, thanks for calling in. So O'Reilly off the board. Nick Kieser, you are up next. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Give me Steven Stamkos.
Going with Steven Stamkos. I will take Philip Forsberg in the competition, who, by the way, had two goals the other night, one of which was pretty unbelievable. O'Reilly, Stamkos, Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click.
I'm last again, huh?
You are.
It seems like you guys are trying to.
You will remain there, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. How about let's go with Roman Josi.
Roman Josi, the selection. O'Reilly, Stamkos, Forsberg. Josi, the picks to click tonight for the Nashville Predators. One person who we did not select, Dante Fabbro, who is no longer a member of the Nashville Predators. He was placed on waivers over the weekend, Joe, and he was claimed by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So Dante Fabbro, now a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets, another first-round pick that has been lost to waivers for nothing, which Predators fans are reacting to over the weekend. What did you make of the decision by the Predators to put Fabbro on waivers? And now losing him to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah. Well, I will say that, first of all, Dante Fabbro was a member of the Nashville Predators way longer than I thought he would be.
Yeah.
I mean, how long have we been talking about that possibility,
about
right?
3 years, yeah.
Ever since the 2019 playoff run, it was like, wow, this kid, man, he really – what is the future of this guy? And then he basically was the same player from then all the way through.
Yeah, pretty much.
Essentially. So now, yeah, so Fabbro, 16 first-round pick, wave. Tolvanen, 17 first-round pick, wave. They still are sitting there with Tomasino,
yep.
First-round pick from 2019. They traded 2020 first-round pick, Yaroslav Askarov. So there's a lot of regret and not much to show for that stretch of drafting. But I saw you were responding, talking a little bit to Pred's Twitter about the Shen thing.
Well,
I mean, it's like, yeah, the Shen is going to be part of this team,
like,
man.
And if you disagree with that, that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with people thinking that Luke Shen needs to be replaced in the lineup. But all I'm saying is just, like, pay attention to the way they've operated. They have not one time scratch Luke Shen in favor of Dante Fabro.
Right.
It did not happen. And the way that they kind of talk about Luke Shen and what he brings to the table, all those things, like, to me, it's not surprising that Fabro was the guy and not Shen. And by the way, had they put Luke Shen on waivers, I don't know that anybody would have claimed him with that contract that he's got. And when they put Fabro on there, I felt pretty good that somebody would claim him, and they did. So we'll see what happens. Like, yeah, you don't want to lose him for nothing. I do think it's not quite the same as the Tolvanen situation. Like, Fabro's been around for a while. I mean, you kind of know what he is at this point. So maybe he goes to Columbus and gets an opportunity and plays well. The bigger question I would have if you're a Predators fan is, all right, well, now you just cleared $2.5 million cap space. What does this open up for your possibilities if you're Barry Trotz? That would be what I'd be curious about moving forward.
Because there's got to be something probably well before the trading deadline.
You would think.
If possible. Do you look at it as any sort of, and I'm not saying I do, but any sort of finger point at Fabro for some of the issues of the Preds early in the season?
No.
Plenty of people have a hand in how they've played.
He's barely played. So, right. Like, you know, he's been in there some, but no, I just think, quite frankly, when they signed him to a deal last year for $2.5 million and brought him back for a one-year deal, I mean, we talked about it at the time. I was like, why? Like, he's basically, he's either on your top pair with Josi or he's not playing. There's no in-between. So I just found that pretty interesting. But we'll see what he does in Columbus and what the Predators do with the money that they've now created. By the way, cool moment tonight, David Poile and Shea Weber going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. So that'll be fun to see tonight. Cool to see Shea Weber as the first really homegrown member of the Preds going into the hall tonight. So I'm sure, you know, the induction ceremony, I think they want you to keep it between 5 and 7 minutes. I have no doubt David Poile probably goes over, and you can take the under on Shea Weber. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, man, yeah. Will he get a full paragraph out?
He just walks up the thing. Thank you. And just walks off. Just walks off the stage after that. Thank you, Shea. Appreciate it.
Oh, man.
So that'll be cool to see.
That's very cool. That's pretty wild they're going in together.
It really is. Joe, your final thoughts on the Titans. They dropped to 2-7. You know, they were talking on the YouTube chat earlier about, you guys making some excuses for the Titans. I think it's just acceptance that they are what they are at this point.
Yeah, there's some consistent elements of this team that are frankly kind of hard to watch. I don't have time to get into this back and forth on the text line with the texter who thinks I'm an old man for thinking they should run the ball. I mean, is this true? A mostly run-heavy team has not won a Super Bowl in a very long time. I'll tell you what, if the Detroit Lions are truly going to continue their path, then that's going to change. So you got to be able to run the ball.
San Francisco has been a run-heavy team. I know they haven't won. They've been the two of them. So
If you want the Titans to throw the ball 50 times, that'll be fun. Let me tell you something.
With this roster and that quarterback, that'll go well.
You got to be realistic about what your personnel is. Also, look, if you're struggling Titans fans with this season, I have a hotline on my Twitter account. I want you to dial it. I'll give you the number. 719-266-2837. It is the Hall & Oates hotline. Yeah. You call that number, you will hear Hall & Oates jams as long as you'd like to hear
this
them.
Is not that has
this
been
will
on,
make you feel better, okay?
That's been on your Twitter for a long time.
Like since I got on Twitter, I think, or pretty close to
it. It's been on there for a long time.
It always works, man. Give it a shot.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We got a lot more to get into tomorrow, including some more college football playoff talk. Diego Pavia suing the NCAA. We'll get into that tomorrow as well. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.